All right, but enough of that. I'm going to start talking about my sermon now. So as you guys know, we're doing this sermon series. It's called Adulting 101. I really like this visual Josiah came up with the chalkboard. It's really clean. So I don't know if you guys went to the sexuality talk on Tuesday, but that was phenomenal. Pastor Kerry, he's a wise guy. So I was inspired. I asked him to help coach me and train me for my sermon today because he's a pretty smart dude. So So today we're going to talk about time. How do you use your time for God? And maybe you're busy, so trying to figure out how much, there's only 24 hours in a day, and how am I going to manage to spend time with God when I'm that busy? I think most of you guys know me. I'm going to introduce myself really quick, but I'm the Chi Alpha International Director here at this H2O Campus Church. And just one more little info drop. I'm getting married in 55 days. Dang, that was a loud whistle. Who did that whistle? Wow, that was good. But I'm looking forward to that. Deja is my fiance. She's moving to Ann Arbor in like 4 weeks here, and I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to have to be couch surfing for a few weeks, so I might be reaching out to some of you guys, see if I can crash on your couch. But it'll work out, so I'm looking forward to that. So anyway, just to talk enough about that, but just one thing I wanted to say is I grew up, I was an engineering major. I worked as an engineer for a few years, and I love efficiency. Does anyone else like efficiency? Raise your hands. All right. I like you guys. That's like one of my favorite words. So I love efficiency, especially when it comes to like saving your time. Like you're efficient with your time. So some examples, maybe doing some errands all in the same part of town. Like, you got like four stores you gotta go to, and you're like, all right, how can I do all those things at once so I can get them all out of the way at the same time? Or maybe you like reading, and you're like, man, reading takes a long time, but you know what I do a lot? I drive. So audiobooks, that's a good way to save some time. I mean, hey, you're doing something you gotta do already, and then you're getting to do something you enjoy doing at the same time. Efficiency. So maybe you're asking me, Caleb, why do you like saving time so much? Because when I save time, like when I'm efficient with my time and I'm saving time doing those things, I'm able to have more time available to do what I want to do. So the more efficient I am, the more lazy I get to be. And that's, well, I mean, I'm just being honest with you guys. But is that the best outlook on life? Maybe not. But, that's just who I am. That's being honest. So all that to say is, I value my time a lot, especially my own free time. So I think we got another slide coming up here. It's the crazy one. Taylor, if you want to hit the crazy. Oh, I forgot about that one. Anybody got time for that? That's a pretty funny. Alrighty. All right, this is the one. Yep. So just looking at this thing, I know U of M students, they probably got a lot on their mind. Looking at the top left, like you're reading, you're studying for your classes. Maybe you got a job. Maybe you're working at a coffee shop to help pay for some stuff. The top right, that's like all the different student orgs on campus. So maybe you spend a lot of time in different student orgs because, I mean, it's what you want to do. There's people recruiting. They want your time. The bottom left, she's just overwhelmed by all the stuff going on in her life. I don't know what's going on there, but I've looked like that a couple times. And then on the bottom right, like, I just put that there because don't forget about your family. You got to call mom every so often, you know what I'm saying? And sometimes she can talk your ear off, but you can't ignore family, you know what I'm saying? So, and then the last one, I didn't even mention church yet. So there's the church in the middle and the bottom. I mean, like you already got all those other things going on in your life, and then like, don't forget God, by the way. he might be the Lord of your life and whatever, but it can be an afterthought sometimes because you're so busy, right? So, all right, now, so let's get away from that. Let's take a deep breath. Let's start fresh. First of all, wanted to thank you guys for taking time out of your busy schedules to come to church and honor God with your time. And I pray that he blesses you for doing so today. So the topic for today, you guys might have figured it out. You can go back to the title slide if you want. But so ain't nobody got time for that. All right. So maybe some questions is, how do I fit Jesus into my schedule when I'm bogged down by all my classes and all that life throws at me? And what can I do to make Jesus at the center of my life? So some of you might be asking me, like, Caleb, why should we listen to you? What's the benefit of keeping Christ at the forefront of our lives? Is it even worth spending time for him? Well, thanks for asking me that, Josiah. Let me answer you. I had Josiah review my sermon before, and he put a little laughing emoji at that sentence. Anyway. So what's the point? Why should we put God at the forefront of our lives? It's because Jesus has a wonderful plan for our lives, and keeping him at the center is the best way to ensure that we're at the center of his will. So this world would have you believe that you can make your own happiness and through the comfort of fame, money, job security, all those things would bring you contentment in this life. But I just want to see what Scripture has to say about this. So you can pull up that first Psalm. I put Psalm 84, a couple verses there. I'm just going to read this real quick. So some of you might have heard this before. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Get a drink while you think about that. So the psalmist is saying that he would rather be a worker for God than to live a life of comfort in the world. And then he kind of goes on to say how God even gives good things to those who walk in accordance with him. I also kind of like how he draws some attention to time here. That he spends one day in the presence of God, and that's better than even spending 1,000 days without him. How great is it to spend time in God's presence? So I got another psalm coming up. So this other one, Moses has a prayer that's written in the Psalms. I'm talking a lot about the Psalms today. Man. So Moses has a prayer that's written in the Psalms, and this may help us get a deeper understanding on how God views our concept of time. So Psalm 90, verses 3-6. You turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust, you mortals. 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but by evening it is dry and withered. So human beings live under God's sentence of death from dust to dust, and 1,000 years to us only feel like a watch in the night for God. I look at some commentary, it says like maybe a few hours. So it just kind of, I mean, you've heard it say like 1,000 years is like a day and a day is like 1,000 years. The concept of time is just so different to God. It's like beyond our understanding to really comprehend it. But kind of what I'm pointing out here is like 1,000 years to us maybe only feels like a short time to God in a way. Our lifespan is so short that we should be using our time that we have to do some things that have some real eternal value. Things that will last longer than a watch in the night. I'm getting to a more practical here. I mean, that's a lot. That's all up there. So let's bring it down a little bit. So why are we talking about God's will, and what does it have to do with my time? Well, I got a chart for you guys, actually. So I'm gonna talk about this for a second here. So it's the urgent, important matrix quadrant. Don't worry about that. So that's some big words, complicated words. But kind of how I view this is, for my simple understanding, is I see like there's important stuff, there's not very important stuff, and then there's urgent stuff, And then there's stuff that's not really that urgent, right? So just some examples for that are important, urgent. Like, I don't know, maybe your friend gets like in an accident or something. You're like, whoa, this is really important. This is really urgent. We need to call the ambulance, get this guy to the hospital ASAP, right? That's important. That's urgent. And then maybe you're not urgent, important. That could be more like, sorry, the top right is what I'm talking about. Important and not urgent. So that's like your goals, your planning, like you're spending a lot of time doing important things. Maybe they're not really pressing on your situation right now. Like if I didn't do this today, my life would be normal. It's fine, right? But they're important goals and dreams in your heart that God maybe put there. So, and then there's your not important and your urgent. So that's like replying to emails, answering text messages, you know, like talking to your friends, you know, wasting your time away. Like, there are things that like are asking and begging for your attention right then and there. But if you take a step back, maybe you realize, well, I don't really need that in my life. They're not that important. And then there's the fourth one, which is, you know, wasting your time doing things that aren't really productive either. And, you know, I live in that quadrant sometimes. It's not always bad. Like, it's important to have fun, you know. Like, have fun with your friends. Like, maybe play a video game, read a book, whatever. Like, those are things that aren't necessarily important, but you shouldn't be living in that quadrant. That's what I'm trying to say. So I picked this chart because I think many of us spend our lives mostly in quadrant three. And that's the bottom left one, the urgent, but not very important. So I think a lot of us probably spend a lot of our time in there. We find ourselves very busy with what life seems to throw at us. We get caught up in doing things like responding to emails, posting to social media, replying to text messages. And I thought it was funny because as I was writing this part of my sermon, I was getting swamped with text messages. I don't know what the deal was, but I was just getting like a bing, ding, 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 ding. I had to set my phone down. I'm like, I can't do this. I got something more important to do. I just thought it was funny. I just thought it was so funny. Man, but, you know, I kind of look at this. Maybe there are things that seem really important, like maybe homework assignments or doing favors for a friend or other valuable task. Now, hear me out. I'm not saying those things aren't important, but I'm just saying, like, when we take a step back and look at things from a bigger picture, that we know that living for God and living in His will is more important than succeeding in the world, is what I'm trying to say. Like, doing your homework, making things are, you know, perfection, getting straight A's, like, those things are good things, and it's likely God wants those things for you, but when we start to put our own goals and passions in front of the goals and desires of God is when we can get distracted and swamped by the urgent things calling for our attention. The way I see it, school is and this life are short term, but eternity is forever. So, I wrote out this little example. So, I imagine that most students' schedules look kind of like this. You have an assignment coming up tomorrow, so you spend the rest of the day completing it, right? So, and then once it's done, you realize, oh man, I'm really tired, I gotta get some rest. So you spend maybe a day or two to take some rest and just hang out with your friends, spend free time however you want, going to parties, playing video games, etc. Then suddenly, hey, it's a couple days later, and you just realize, hey, I got an assignment due like tomorrow and then exam the next day. So because you're, you know, if something was urgent, you did it, and then nothing was urgent, so you just kind of spend all your time doing whatever you want, and the next thing you know, the next thing's urgent again, right? So you're in this cycle of, like, doing urgent things, and then, like, ignoring your life's problems, and then doing important, urgent things, and then, you know what I'm saying? It's like a cycle, so. No, not all of you are like that. Some of you are very disciplined. You're just really busy. You get your work done. So I have another example. So maybe you find yourself living a lot in the first and third quadrants a lot. Like you're doing a lot of important stuff, but maybe you're not spending any time on quadrant four, right? So you're doing a lot of important stuff, a lot of urgent stuff, and you find yourself busy all the time. You can't figure out where you can cut corners in your life to set aside for God. You've simply too much on your plate. Maybe you're even staying up late every night and you still can't find time to for God or even rest at all, for that matter. You want to go to church, you want to do things for people, and maybe you feel kind of bad and guilty about not being able to do those things, because if only you just had a few more hours in the day, you could make it work. So let me ask you, what is the goal of all your urgency? What are you striving for? Do you want to be successful and have a nice job so that you can live the life you dreamed of? Is this the reason why you hustle so much? Where does God fit into all this? Maybe you're like the first person. You've forgotten about him because you spend all your time and energy on the urgent tasks that are thrown in your face. But you don't have the proper discipline required to prepare for those tasks at a steady pace so that you can open up your mind and have a little more freedom in your time to spend time with the Lord and be more disciplined in that way. Or maybe you're like the second person, and this season of your life is just too busy, so you're just going to get through it, and you're going to make time for God after the semester is over. I heard that. I wasn't here, but I heard Pastor Nino preached about money last week, and I think you were saying something along the lines of, you know, I don't have that much money, so I'm not going to tithe, but once I start getting more money, then I'll start to tithe. This is basically the same thing. Like, you're setting aside your time for the Lord, right? And if you don't start that practice now, life's going to get busier. It's going to get crazier. You're going to have four kids that are running around being crazy. And just ask Chris. I mean, when you, like, you got a family, like, family is six. I can't even imagine trying to, like, start habits, like, when you got so many people you're taking care of and so many things to worry about, it's just so much harder. I was talking to Chris about it. He was like, in this season of your life, you're still kind of bendable, kind of moldable a little bit. But it's like when you're older, like you can still change, but you got to get it. It's like the concrete. The concrete's now solid. So you got to get out the jackhammer. You got to go, and then finally you can get some wet concrete and start to mold it again. But like, it's tough. So, you know, it's easier to start now. That's what I'm saying. All right. So all that said, the truth is that we're never promised tomorrow. We're talking about time. We're never actually promised tomorrow. So I'm going to pull up this next scripture. It's one of my favorites. It's from the book of James. So you pull that up, Taylor. Thanks a lot. MVP. All right, let's talk about James. So James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. It's up on the screen. I'm going to read it here. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. So I got a fun story. Story time with Caleb. Let's go. Let's sugar cane. I don't know if everyone knows that nickname, but anyway. So this was about when I was back in Oklahoma. I was leading a core group. I was a student core group leader. I was a sophomore. And I was also working a part-time job. So that first slide we were talking about, that was kind of like me. I was very busy, very swamped. I was still trying to put God at the center, but I was just really tired, man. Like, seriously. So I worked for one semester at the pita pits, is what it was called. I made pitas for people. I delivered them, too, on campus. It was kind of fun. I got a discount there. 40% off. Yeah. So I enjoyed working there, right? I enjoyed getting to work, getting some money. Like, I don't know, just it ain't much, but it's honest work. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, after that first semester of working there, I was getting overwhelmed, right? I had too much on my plate. And then at the end of the semester, I kind of spent some time evaluating how my core group went. And I was pretty sad, actually. Like, it's not like my core group was bad, but I felt like the Lord was calling me to spend more time with my guys, and I didn't have that time. And that's, I wept. I know, grown man crying. So I wept. I said, Lord, like, I can't do this anymore. So I quit my job. I felt the Lord was calling me to do that. And then I got to spend more of my time and attention on the thing God had called me to do, being a core group leader. So, you know what happened? The next year, I actually got several engineering scholarships for achieving good grades because I had more time to focus on my studies and my guys. And I got on the dean's list, and I got some awesome scholarships that helped pave the way. So really, I probably got more money because I decided to quit that job, and the Lord really provided for me. So I know everyone's story is different. Like, I'm not telling you guys to quit your jobs or whatever, but you got to understand, like, the more time you spend with the Lord, the easier it is to hear him call out to you and to hear, like, what he's telling you to do, right? So maybe he's telling you to, hey, hustle at the job and keep it going. I got something great in store for you. But maybe he's telling you to quit. So, it's a simple story, but I found myself living in quadrants 1 and 3. And because I do that, I was able to reach my guys for campus and see a greater work in my core group. So, it's true that we're all human, and we all have limitations. So, we need to figure out, like, what those are, so we can set boundaries and not expend ourselves. So, I think I have a picture of Jesus here. There's the man himself. He's just chilling. It's Irish Jesus. He's chilling. You can see his feet. You know, he's chilling. He's praying, probably looking over the scenery. But I just wanted a picture of him alone, kind of maybe on the mountainside, praying to God, because he did that a lot. If you've read through the Gospels, you know, he went and left his disciples to pray, right? So. If you don't believe me, I just pulled up, I don't have a slide for this, but I researched a few references. So in Matthew 4, it's before he started his ministry. He goes into the wilderness, spends like 30 days there to pray, you know, and get tempted by Satan and all that. And then there's Luke 5:16, where it says, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Luke 6:12, Jesus was on the mountainside. He spent the night praying. Luke 9:28, that's where the transfiguration is. So Jesus actually took Peter, John, and James up to the mountainside to pray with him. And then, you know, some other stuff happened, but that's another sermon. But and then there's Luke 22:40-44. This is the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, the night before Jesus was arrested. So he and all his disciples went over to the garden and they prayed. Well, his disciples kept falling asleep, but, well, I mean, Jesus was praying, so. So Jesus spent his time valuably withdrawing in order to spend time with the Father. He also invested in his disciples a lot, even during those prayer times, as we kind of saw that progress. Like, he went away, and then he started spending time with his disciples during those prayer times. I thought it was kind of cool. But. So he prioritized spending time with the Father above all else, even in the midst of doing things like performing miracles, saving lives, spending time with his disciples, who are going to be the backbone of the church for the rest of, like, the world. I mean, that's pretty important, I know. But, but my point is, like, as important as all those things were, they're still not as important as spending time with the Lord and prioritizing him. It's crazy to think about. So let me ask you, are the things that you're doing more important than performing miracles, changing lives, investing in people for the future of the church? if they're not that important, if they're not more important than that, then, and you can see how Jesus took time away from those things to spend time with the Lord. So if your things aren't as important as miracles and all that stuff, then you should probably, I don't know, take a step back and realize, like, oh, like, I need to do these more important things because these things aren't even as important as the things that Jesus didn't want to do to spend time with the Lord. Am I making sense here? Okay. So you got to spend time to listen to what the Lord's saying to us and let your hearts be transformed by his love. So this is a cheesy one, but like people who kind of work on their appearance, like, right? So maybe you can look at it as like, you know, a goal, like a fitness goal you have for yourself versus like a lifestyle of healthy living. If you ever looked at fitness videos or whatever, you can see that this is kind of a theme. But I've heard a lot of people ask, like, man, I want to get a six-pack before the summer. I don't know if you've heard that. I've heard that a lot. But they do it because they want to impress girls, you know, and they have this goal in mind. But people who go, there's a lot of people who maybe go to the gym at the beginning of the year, but they back out because they're not motivated enough. They don't have enough time and energy. They're not disciplined enough. Yeah, it's a weird analogy, but what I'm trying to say here is that, like, even if you have a spiritual goal, like reading a book of the Bible, that's, like, that's good. That's good, but it's not really the goal. You know what I'm saying? Like, now what? I guess, like, say your goal is to read a book of the Bible. You read it, and, like, okay, I'm done. Time to go back to living the life the way I was living it. You know what I'm saying? So the goal isn't to feel accomplished or to reach those things. It's the goal is transformation, right? And for transformation to happen, you need constant discipline. So are you dedicated to having your life changed and transformed by Christ? Or do you simply have some strong emotion to make a change or a difference so that you can save as many souls for Christ as quickly as you can? So Christ is not calling you to follow him for a season. He's calling you to follow him for life. Are you running at a steady pace towards him? Or are you sprinting towards him so you can take some personal breaks and detours along the way? Or maybe you're too tired to even try, like, chasing after him. It takes a lot of initiative and effort to give up your time and schedule so that you can be used by God in greater ways. My old campus pastor in Oklahoma, he would tell me, he's like, when you're busier, you actually need to spend more time with God. How does that work? I'm already running out of time as it is. How am I supposed to spend more time with God? There's only 24 hours in a day, man. I mean, I don't even have time to sleep sometimes, heck. But I think his point was, you need the Holy Spirit's guidance in everything you do. How can you be guided by someone you don't know in this busy and crazy life? How will you know him unless you spend time with him to get to know him? So I'm getting towards my response time here, but it's going to be a little different today. We're not just going to go into a song right away. Instead, I thought we could do something a little more practical. So if any of those things are you, maybe you're feeling convicted here, or maybe you just see, like, a lack of discipline in your life. If any of those things are you, so that's everybody. Then I have a little activity for us to do. So kind of what I wanted is we're going to spend 2 minutes here, and you're going to get out. You're going to kind of think about, hey, how am I going to spend time with God every day this week? So you're going to think about that, and maybe you can write it down in your notebook or calendar if you're thinking about that. But after you do that, after you come up with some kind of plan, like, hey, when am I going to spend time with God? How am I going to do it? After you do that, you can turn to your neighbor and tell them what your plan is. And, yep, so go ahead and do that. After we're done, the band can start coming up, and we will just kind of, we'll do some last song. We'll transition. We'll do like a last song of praise and worship, and then we can let you guys go. But let me pray for you guys real quick before we start this activity. So, yeah, dear Jesus, I just thank you so much for this day. Thank you for everyone who took the time out of their busy schedules to come here. And I pray that you would bless them for doing that. I pray that you'd honor these people. I pray that we're living in these quadrants 1 and 3 too much, just being bogged down by the tyranny of the urgent, that we could take some steps back and just learn how to breathe, walk at a sustainable pace, a sustainable rhythm, so that we can see our discipline grow and we can see our joy grow as that happens, God. Yeah, just pray for these people and bless them. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.